This podcast replay is brought to you by Sports Grill. With over 35 years of making it special grilled, they're celebrating the start of football season with 15% off all bone-in wings. Visit any of their 7 locations all over South Florida.
All righty. It's fantasy, baby. And you know what? There's a little extra spice for South Florida fans all over the world, because usually if you're in Chicago, you're a homer, you're taking Bears players. If you're in New York, you're taking some Jets and some Giants players, even though you really shouldn't, but you're doing it anyways. Here in South Florida, Dolphin fans all over the world, well, they're going with Tyreek. They're going with Waddle, baby, right? Waddle, Hill, what a thrill. Yeah, I love it. Tua, Waddle, Hill, what a thrill. So now let's ask Mr. Pianowski. Good afternoon, sir. Is Tua Tagovailoa a number one type starter in fantasy football this week against the Bills with no Micah and no corners and maybe the best pair of wide receivers in the NFL? Good afternoon.
Yeah, like week two, when Miami gets started a little bit late, I apologize for getting started a little bit late today. We had some technical difficulties. We'll make it up to you. Big O, I can answer this question by putting my money where my mouth is, okay? I'm in a bunch of leagues, but the league I want to win the most is against my hometown friends, my old buddies, and I usually make the playoffs. I won that league many years. I'm 0-2. Nobody's going to boo-hoo for me. So what did I do today? A couple days ago, I traded Justin Herbert. I traded Mike Evans, who can't help me on suspension. I got Tyreek Hill, and I got Tua.
Woo!
I'm going to throw those guys at Buffalo, at their injured secondary. Buffalo's offense is great. Miami will have to throw to keep up. We saw last week that, the story in the NFL is that no lead was safe. The Miami comeback, the Jets comeback, the Arizona comeback. And I love the ethos of this new coaching staff. You know, basically, screw it. Let's go down swinging, right? That's what they did.
Hey, we here in South Florida, we say F it.
Sure. I'm just trying to figure out how to handle that. Want to be a family show, of course. And also, you mentioned drafting in different cities. I hope nobody in Chicago drafted any of the Bears, because they're just going to run you down into a ditch. But yeah, I'm all on board, man. I'm not just a fantasy analyst, but I am invested in the Miami passing game on the team that matters to me the most. Let's go. Wheels up, fins up.
I love it. And by the way, Tyreek is normally a Bills killer as it is. So they probably hated the fact that Miami signed him. But now that Tua and him are in a groove, that should be a deadly combination right now. And you and I know the Bills are going to probably send the house to try to disrupt this whole thing.
Yeah, which means if you hit Waddle or two on a slant, that can be a 75-yard touchdown. You know, I love. You know what else I love? Jalen Waddle, 16 yards a catch, you know, because last year it was – and they're still throwing a lot of bubble screens and a lot of quick hitters. I mean, it's not right. Like everything is downfield, but at least they're making more chunk plays. He had the profile coming out of Alabama as a guy who could run the entire route tree, but they didn't have – all the pieces to really run the offense that best suited Waddle. Look, the guy caught, 106 balls. He was great. But they didn't have an offense that really made sense completely. They've added – the bottom line is this. When you have speed and you can threaten the entire field, which Miami can do right now, and they're doing it with two guys. I mean, God help the league if they get Gesicki going, or if Cedric Wilson maybe steps up. But right now, I believe the stat is 59% of their targets are going to their two guys. And look, the way it's working, why not? I mean, you beat Bill Belichick in week one. You scalp the Ravens and Jim Harbaugh in week two. You have two of the best coaches John Harbaugh, I should say.
I don't know if there's two corners that are going to be able to stay with those guys stride for stride. I don't think it's humanly it's not the corners' faults that they're facing. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes people, I know Noah Igbinoghamy has never made an impact yet, but they always go back to Stephon Diggs the first year as a rookie. And it's like, dude, it's Stephon Diggs. He burns everybody. Can you imagine a rookie that is learning how to play cornerback? I mean, Noah was a receiver 2 years before he played Stephon Diggs. That guy's trying to learn how to play against Stephon. Impossible. And when I look at Tyreek and Waddle, I almost think it's unfair that you have to try to cover those guys and stay with them.
For sure. I mean, remember the late, great Al Davis. What did he like more than anything other than winning, I guess, was team speed. Yep. That was the thing that he was obsessed with. And look around the NFL, right? Who are the rookies who are taking the league by storm? They're wide receivers. They're Garrett Wilson, who looked fantastic last week. Drake London, they don't know what to do with Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, but Drake London has been great right away. Treylon Burks is one of the few things that's working right now in Tennessee. Dotson has scored both of his weeks. Olave had a ridiculous amount of air yards. Unfortunately, with Jameis Winston, they turn into prayer yards sometimes. But, I mean, Olave is going to be heard from, another first-round pick. It used to be, Bigo, we've been playing fantasy a long time. It used to be come back to these receivers in year three, right? Don't touch them as rookies. That changed in 2014, the Beckham year, the Watkins year, the Mike Evans year, and then eventually Devontae Adams, who wasn't great that year, became the best of the group. Now, rookie receivers can be impactful players. And this year, it's a great crop of them. We saw last year with Waddle, he was good right away. And Miami, very modern approach, right? I mean, look, I think eventually they've got the ground game going. I know Evans has been a little bit disappointing. Mostert got in on the fun last week, who's a good player. I hope he can stay healthy. But the NFL's about passing, and it's about threatening the opponents downfield, right? How did Randy Moss change defense in the NFL? He made you defend to avoid an 80-yard touchdown in every play, because that's what Randy Moss was threatening to do to you. And Miami has two of these guys now. And again, they're steering into them. If they were throwing these two guys on the field and giving them seven targets a week, it wouldn't make any sense. They're saying, no, you know what? Let's throw to them almost every friggin' play. Good luck trying to defend it. I think it's awesome. I cannot wait for this game. This is the game of the week, and that's a big statement when Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are playing. But the game I'm going to have on my main set is going to be Buffalo-Miami.
All right, send them the questions. Lightning quick. We're going to get some answers for you since we started a little late here. On the Welton Raom text line, 855-912-1056. Or on the YouTube chat board right now, send them in. We start pick two, CEH, Devontae Smith, or Michael Carter? Tony wants to know.
Yeah, I think Carter's the low man on the totem pole. CEH has actually been surprisingly useful in Kansas City. It's funny because Mahomes has like seven touchdown passes, but the only other players who are really doing much for Kansas City are CEH and Kelce. So I think he's in the circle of trust. And the Jets are going to have a timeshare in the backfield. Hall did some things last week. They're not favored, of course. They're like 6-point underdogs against Cincinnati. So it's hard for me to start Carter with confidence. Smith, two games. One game he did nothing, but although he cleared out for everybody else. But he got back in form on Monday night. I can play Devonta Smith too.
All right. Need some help here. Akers, Dobbins, or Mostert as my running back two. Pick one. Akers has been screwing me.
You can't play Dobbins until he plays a game. It's as simple as that, right? Because he might get three carries, right? I think I'd go Mostert. I get your frustration with Akers. You look terrible in week one. He hardly saw any snaps. The only play anybody remembers in that game is when he blew the blitz assignment because he didn't want to block and got Matt Stafford creamed, and the Rams don't have a great offensive line right now. It's Mostert by default. But Dobbins, the key with Dobbins is you have to see a game. You need a show-me game before you can trust him.
Okay. Sage says, Brandon Cooks or Raheem Mostert in a flex PPR? Should I play Tua over Carr? Also, thanks for the advice to trade Higgins for Waddle. Totally paid off.
Oh, my God. What a great trade that was. Yeah. I got to go Cooks. I'm certainly playing Tua over Carr with the Buffalo injuries in the secondary in a game that I think is going to feature a lot of scoring. And Cooks, you know, he's still the number one target in Houston. Davis Mills is... he hasn't been great through 2 weeks, but I think he can be maybe a league average quarterback. This is not a great Bears defense. I feel pretty good about Brandon Cooks in week three.
Sean has a question.
Scott, I got a dilemma here.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen or Tua?
But how'd you end up with both of those guys?
I'm not a good drafter. I just ended up with them. I just kind of draft who I want. I also have.
Well, first of all, hopefully you can find somebody who has Tom Brady, who's panicking, who maybe thought Trey Lance was the answer, who's panicking. You got to try to trade one of those guys, and it's not always easy. I get asked all season, I'll get asked two great quarterback questions. Who do I start? And I'll say, have you tried the trade one? They usually say, yeah, I have. Either nobody needs a quarterback or the people who need them are too dumb to realize they need them. I would try to trade one of them, and I'd be fine to trade either one of them and get an upgrade elsewhere. Because Allen has such a magnetic rushing element, I have to play Allen first.
Okay, there you go. Let's see. Question, should I start Hilliard over Cam Akers?
There I would go Akers, not with any level of confidence. I assume people like Jeff Wilson aren't available to you, long gone, but it's ugly. I can't play Hilliard yet, man. I mean, he's just not a starter, and it's an offense I don't trust.
Okay, if you want to get in, 855-912-1056 on the Welt and Raom text line. Big O, need two in a PPR flex. Matt Ryan, Jeff Wilson, J.K. Dobbins, Jarvis Landry, Tony Pollard, Miko Hardman. G from Pennsylvania wants to know.
Yeah, it's the first two guys. And Hardman, I'm not sure Hardman is rosterable. I know Ryan looked horrible last week, really both weeks, but I think Pittman's back this week. And in a super flex, a quarterback is just such an important player to score points. So you have to give him another week.
Okay. Tight end, Knox or Conklin?
That sums up the tight end's position right now.
No, right?
There's like four tight ends who are playing well for us, and everybody else is driving us crazy. Cole Kmet doesn't have a catch yet. I think I had him ranked as my tight end 12 before the season. I don't think he's tight end 12 right now. Knox has been another guy who's been a total brick. Conklin's getting a lot of routes. The Jets have been just chucking the ball all over the place. Flacco threw 59 passes in the first game, and obviously he threw it all over the yard last week. But I got to give Knox one more week. I can't give up on him yet. I can't go down to Ty Conklin on Knox yet. I get why you're asking, but and if you had maybe Tyler Higbee, I could do it, but I can't do it for Conklin.
All right. Which two should I start? Chase Edmonds, Dave Montgomery, or Damian Pierce?
It's Montgomery and Pierce. Showing, you know, I'm not going to be a hometown bias guy if I don't think it's merited. Pierce got back in the circle of trust last week. I know the Bears offense is ugly, but the market share is all Montgomery. Herbert looks good, but they're going to give like 19 touches to Montgomery and like six to Herbert. And that's the currency. I know they're going in the same game, but there's going to be a lot of running. Neither team wants their quarterback to throw 35 passes. I'm not sure the Bears want to throw 25 passes.
With Mike Evans out, wide receiver number two, Allen Robinson, Ayuk, Devontae Smith, or Judy if healthy?
Really good depth. Robinson got off the restricted list last week. It's a really narrow passing tree with the Rams, and we've talked about how we don't trust Akers. They need to throw the ball. I think they'll throw it 40 times this week. Robinson should soak up 8 to 10 targets. That's a good receiver room. You've drafted well. You've assembled good depth, but Robinson's your play.
Hockerson or Gesicki?
I give Hockenson one more week. I would love to see Gesicki have a role in this offense. We all know he's a move tight end. He's not really a blocker. They want a mover at that position, somebody who can actually move bodies. But at least Gesicki had the four catches and the touchdown last week. Hockenson, again, the tight end position has been extremely frustrating, but Detroit is putting up points. I think there's going to be a lot of points in their week three game against Minnesota. I give Hockenson one more week.
Let's see. What do we got here? Juicef5 sends in a super chat question. Which should I trade? Judy, Eckler, Mooney, or Elijah Moore?
We'll throw everybody on the out in the market and see what they'll fetch. I don't think Eckler really belongs in that group. The thing with Elijah Moore and why I'm glad you're shopping him in trade is he's a good player. I think Garrett Wilson's the number one receiver on the Jets, and he's the only playing 2/3 of the snaps right now. They're eventually going to fix that. So in situations like that, so Judy, Mooney, and Moore are your receivers, right? Because, again, Eckler's kind of in a different group. Throw them all out there and let your opponents decide. Maybe they'll screw up. Maybe they'll pick the wrong guy. Say, here are the receivers I want to trade. Who do you like the most? If they give you a bad list, you can exploit it. If they give you a list you don't like, you can argue against it. Let them kind of make them show their cards first is what I would do in that situation.
Chase Edmonds or James Robinson? I'm going James Robinson, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting like 75% of the backfield work. Although Etienne has been more efficient, but he put the ball on the ground. He dropped a touchdown pass. He's basically a rookie because he didn't play last year. What a comeback for Robinson, that late season Achilles injury.
Dude, it's an Achilles injury, and he's coming back this strong. That is amazing. Well, by the way, a follow-up is, Yo Dudis on the chat board is asking, so do I give up on Etienne? Handcuff, right?
He's averaging 2.5 more yards per touch. The thing is, he's basically in a rookie season. And, you know, every coach, when you fumble, they have to put you in jail or they have to, like, you know, teach you your lesson and finger wag at you. So they're kind of doing that with Etienne. I actually think he'll be involved plenty against the Chargers. They're 7-point underdogs. But, man, Robinson, usually the Achilles is a kill shot. That's been a big reason why Cam Akers can't get going. I mean, hats off to James Robinson right now. His market share makes him startable, but not only do not give up on ETN, there's a guy you could trade for cheaply right now. I bet his managers are very frustrated. Again, don't go to the guy and say, hey, I want Travis ETN. Say, I need a running back. I see you got like four good ones, and see if maybe he'll trade ETN for less than what he's worth.
All right. Big O, Tino from New Mexico. Who do I start flex, Raheem Mostert or Mike Williams?
I mean, look at what Big Mike Williams did last week, Thursday night. I know that the Chargers don't have a ton of team speed, but Williams is a great contested catch guy. I'm glad you've all added Mostert. I need to see one more week of how Miami shakes out the usage because they paid Edmonds so much money. I can't believe that Edmonds is just going to be mothballed. Obviously, Mostert has history with the coaching staff, but Mike Williams is probably the number one receiver tied to Justin Herbert. That means a lot to me.
Flex spot, Edmonds, Mostert, Devontae Smith, or Ayuk?
I'm going to go with Ayuk because Jimmy G, here's the thing, right? Trey Lance was going to run a lot. Trey Lance is not experienced as a downfield passer. Now he's out for the season. We really have no idea if Trey Lance can play. He's hardly played the last few seasons. Garoppolo has always been a YPA guy. He's not going to run much. There's some unsettling shuffling in the running back room. I think Ayuk's value actually jumped in the last week.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have? Is it worth to stash Cole? I don't like vaccines, Beasley.
I ignored him on all my waiver lists, even in teams that needed receiver help. I think he's at an age where it's just hard to get it back. He's always been a player who needed that burst and explosion. And now that at the age that he's in and how ineffective he was last year, he had no training camp. My expectations are extremely low.
Singletary, Thielen, or Curtis Samuel in the flex?
I don't know why Buffalo doesn't want to run the ball. I think they had 21 straight passes at one point last week. Samuel is getting schemed up. I mean, you said Samuel on the show. We knew you were talking about Debo Samuel, but Curtis Samuel's off the restricted list. They're running the ball to him, throwing him short, throwing him medium. He's the most targeted player on an offense that includes Terry McLaurin. That's killing my McLaurin shares, and I still like McLaurin, but right now, Samuel's the featured player on that offense. I know Carson Wentz is frustrating to watch on a snap-to-snap basis. He'll throw a couple of awful passes. But, I mean, that team's putting up points. They're going to have to chase the game against Philadelphia. I think Curtis Samuel is maybe a receiver, too, this week.
All right. Tell them a little bit about Yahoo Sports and what you guys do on Sunday to get folks ready and what you're doing for the next couple of days.
Sure. I put my sleepers out on – first of all, Wednesday I did a redraft. What I would do if a draft started today, the first two rounds, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle were both featured heavily and high on that list. Thursday I put my sleepers out. Today, after I finish this show, I'll do my NFL picks. We're 6-4 against the spread. Hey, you can go 60%. You never have to work a day in your life. Sunday is Fantasy Football Live. It's the final hour before kickoff. We talk injuries. We'll give you all the intel on the weekend you need to know, who to start, who to sit, who to play in DFS, who to bet on, all that stuff. Yahoo Fantasy, Andy Behrens, who's on the show on Monday, is part of the show. I'm part of the show, Matt Harmon, all your favorite Yahoo people. So come hang with us. It's just September, Big O, but we want leverage, right? We want to be 2-1. We want to be 3-0. It's much easier. You don't want to be like me, 0-2, and having to make trades, although I'm happy to get Tua and Tyreek Hill, and they're going to make me 1-2 in that league. But we want you to have leverage. That means we're going to grind together. We're going to get you a win in week 3.
There you go. And follow him on Twitter at Scott_Pianowski. Catch him here once a week. Well, actually, we got Andy Behrens on Mondays at noon and Scott Pianowski on Fridays at noon with 2 fantasy segments a week. Scott, as always, you're a stud, my brother. Appreciate you big time. May the big Tua win be yours.
I appreciate it. And as always, man, you always get – your listeners always have the smartest questions. Just the way people have assembled their teams, I know they get fantasy. You've always been a radio host. You play it. You understand it. So this is always one of my favorite spots of the week because we get to talk to smart people. You know, it's not this, the silly questions like, should I pick up Garrett Wilson? Nobody's going to ask me that in this show because they know they should pick up Garrett Wilson, stuff like that. So I always appreciate talking to you. The listeners are great. And let's keep rock and rolling, man.
Smart people. What the hell are they doing listening to me? That's what I want to know.
In spite of you, apparently, they've become pretty smart. So,
exactly. Maybe they're checking out Sean. That's what it is. It's not. It's all
production
about
production value.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Scott, as always, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Be good, buddy.
You got it. That is your Sports Grill Fantasy Football Zone.